Well, I'm glad we have a light to send. It's a gospel light, and it's a blessed gospel light. And we have a message to tell to the world. The world may not listen, but we can tell. They may not receive, but we can give the story of salvation, the story of the Lord. Some of you had asked about Amy. She's doing okay back home out of the emergency room. Didn't have any real problem, but just wanted to make sure the discharge or the bleeding was from just having the Newport, old port taken out, Newport put in, and less than 12 hours after they put it in, they had to use it for dialysis, and so just a little bit of a trauma to that part of the body, and so we're glad there wasn't anything serious, so we thank the Lord for that. Thank you for praying and being concerned, and she goes back tomorrow for another dialysis, and then Tuesday goes to Christ Hospital in Cincinnati for another class, and so just pray for her and Cliff as they do having to do a lot of traveling, a lot of miles, and so just remember them. All right, tonight, if you would take your Bible and turn to the book of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible. I'm going to look at the last chapter of the last book, and almost the last words of that book and of that chapter. And when you come to the last chapter of Revelation, everything is finished. The tribulation is over. The wicked one is no longer around. He is forever banished. Wickedness is gone, and the new heaven and the new earth has been established. And John has saw all of that in his vision that God has given him. And the Lord tells him, he said, I'm coming quickly to take care of this. And I can just only imagine what John thought in his mind as he saw the scroll open before him and God showed him all of these marvelous things of heaven. He's seen all the miracles of the Lord and seen all the judgments of God. And here John is sitting on an island called Patmos, which was a prison island of where prisoners were sent and left to die. And he sees all the glory of the things of God. And I want us to begin reading in verse number 10. And we'll read down through the end of the chapter, verse 21. Verse number 10 says, And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We have the writing here of the last words of Scripture. I don't think there has been any other scripture penned since these last words have been given. We have more than we can handle now. We certainly don't need any new revelation from God. But he tells us here that as he's reading and or as he's giving us these words to read, Jesus identifies himself in three or four different ways here. He tells him in verse number 7, he says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Now he's writing about this book, the Revelation. And he said, "Blessed is that man that, or that person that keeps the sayings of the things that are found in the covers of the Word of God or the Word of the Revelation." Here we find that Jesus is the revealer. We know nothing outside of the work of the Holy Spirit and the wooing of God upon us, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. We know nothing outside of His presence to give us the understanding. The book of the Revelation is probably one of the hardest books of all the Bible to read. It's not impossible to understand, but there's a lot of questions and a lot of symbolic givings and a lot of things that are given to us that are not as clear to our vision as maybe other books, maybe that the Apostle Paul wrote or John that wrote this one. But he tells us here that Jesus reveals himself in his word. And I'm glad tonight that we learn all that we need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ out of his word. We don't have to have somebody get in a trance and say they've seen the Lord. We don't have to have someone that say they've died and they've gone to heaven and they've revealed some things about the Lord. All that we need to know about Christ is found in this book, and he is the revealer of his word. Not only that, but he says, "Let him be holy that is holy. Let him be holy still." He is the Redeemer. Thank God tonight we have redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ and the shed blood of our Savior. And so he redeems us. Then in verse number 12, we find that Jesus is the rewarder. He tells us here that he shall give to every man according as his work shall be. Our rewards, our blessings in heaven will be according to the things we did here upon this earth. I'm glad my salvation is not dependent upon what I do. It's dependent upon what he did on Calvary. And when I stand before the Lord in judgment, it's not going to be to find out if I'm going to be able to go to heaven or not go to heaven. That's already been established when we trust the Lord. But our time at the judgment seat of Christ will be revealed to us, the rewards that he gives to us, those blessings that God would give to us as his people. There are five crowns that can be won, and those are revealed to us in the scripture. And so Jesus said, he says, "I'm coming quickly, and I'm going to give to every man or every person according to his work, according to what we do." And so things are going to be given to us, rewards and rewards will be given and blessings will be bestowed upon us from the Lord. So he's the rewarder. When we come to verse number 20, where I want to look tonight, primarily verse 20 and even 21, but primarily verse number 20, he says, "He that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." And immediately John said, "Amen, I would too. Even so come, Lord Jesus." John has viewed all the things that is given to us in the Revelation. I believe he had a clearer picture of those things than maybe we do in our mind. I believe maybe the Lord even shown him some visions, and the scripture talks about the vision. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and God caught him up to the place where he was, and God revealed to him all the things that are yet in the future for us. And so maybe he had a little clearer vision or a clearer view from seeing than we have just from reading. When I read about some of those things that are given to us, the animals and the four-headed beast, and I have a hard time reflecting upon that. But I believe John maybe saw that because he describes it in great detail. And so now we come down to the very last couple of verses. Jesus said, I'm coming quickly. He is the returner. He is the one that's going to come again. Thank God tonight we believe in the second coming of our Lord and Savior. We believe and we teach the prophetic view that the Lord shall come one day and receive us unto himself. And then later he's coming to set his feet upon this earth to establish his kingdom, which will be for a literal 1,000-year period of time. And he'll rule from the throne of David, which is in the city of Jerusalem in Israel. He'll rule this earth with a rod of iron. You talk about a dictator. Jesus Christ will be a dictator. Everything will be according as he chooses it to be, and the sin of man will be put down and will be no longer visible as it had been. And he's going to rule for 1,000 years, and people are going to come to Jerusalem just to see the magnificence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, we know the story as it continues. After the 1,000-year period, the devil is loose for a little season. I have a hard time comprehending that here are people that have lived for year after year after year under the righteous rule of Jesus Christ. And yet when the Lord pulls the cap off of hell and the devil is once again released, there are multitudes and throngs of people that follow after him and immediately go to overthrow the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says he will destroy them with the brightness of his coming. And so we find that that he says, I'm coming quickly. And John said, come, even so, Lord Jesus, for he has seen this. And as we get closer to this time that is written here, now this is a long time yet for us in the future. This is after the tribulation. This is after the things that are revealed to us in the word of the Lord here in Revelation. But as we get closer to that, that present time that we call the end time, we certainly believe that the Word of God is the inspired Word of the Lord, and these verses tell us some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Those are almost the last words of the Word of God. The only thing that goes after that is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It's very fitting and appropriate for John to end his book here with the word amen, so be it. And so right at the very end of the word of God, right at the very end of the revelation, John says, even so come, Lord Jesus. I think tonight we have that same feeling. I think there are times that we cringe and yearn for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful prospect it is in these verses to know that Jesus is coming, and I believe coming very soon. We should say to the unsaved that today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is that accepted time. And if we know folks that are lost, we need to tell them about about the salvation of Christ, because there's a day coming when that will no longer be available to them. To those that are Christians that maybe are lethargic in their living and sleeping in their time, the Scripture says it's high time that we awake out of our sleep. The Scriptures admonish us to redeem the time, for the days are evil. This time that we have, it will never return to us. It'll never come back to us the way it is. We started here 25, 26 minutes ago. That time is gone. It'll never return. And the Lord tells us to redeem the time, or to use the time wisely that he gives us, because there is a judgment seat of Christ that one day we will stand before, and one day the lost will stand before the white throne judgment. So we need to redeem the time, use the time that God gives us, and use it wisely. I want us to look at these verses tonight, beginning with verse number 10. And just here at the end of this book of the Revelation, understand that John was saying, even so come, Lord Jesus, with a purpose and with a reason. He is, as I've already said, he has seen all this. He's ready to experience what the Lord has shown him, the beauties and the glory of heaven. If you just turn back a few pages, and we're not going to read, but you'll find in chapter number 21 that God has revealed to John that there's seven new things that are before him. He talks about a new heaven and a new earth, and he hears the voice from heaven and tells him that God's going to wipe away the tears. I'm sure that John had sat maybe there on that island alone and without any provision. Maybe their tears had come to his eyes, and the Lord said, that's all right. One of these days I'll wipe those tears away. And John says, come, Lord Jesus. John says, I'm ready for you to be here. So I want us to look beginning in verse number 10, and we'll see some things about this end time chapter, these end time verses, that gives us the understanding that we should also say, as John did, even so come, Lord Jesus. Verse number 10, we find that he tells us, number one, says, seal not the prophecy, the saying of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. John, don't do like Daniel did. If you go back to the book of Daniel, and by the way, you can't understand Revelation unless you read Daniel. You're not going to understand all of Daniel unless you look into Revelation. They are companion books, one in the Old Testament, one in the New. But Daniel was told to seal up the prophecies of his book. They're not to be known. They are sealed for a time. John is told, don't seal the book. And he is told to make it open. And the reason for that is because there is this thing of the time is at hand. If the time is at hand, that means we're right at the time. If you have an appointment and it's at 10 o'clock in the morning and you're there at 9:59, the time is at hand for that appointment to be made. Now, most times our appointments are not on time. Most times they don't necessarily schedule things as they maybe would want to, and we get behind time. But you can be assured tonight the Lord's not behind. He's right on time. And the time is at hand for us to realize that he is coming. The Bible tells us, and Brother Johnson the other night talked about this falling away. We're living, I believe, in the time of the falling away. I believe really it began at the end of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul also deals with this thing of the falling away, and people began to go away from the true message of the Scripture. It's amazing, in the first century there were heretics already sprung up. Before the church had been around 50 years, there are those that have sprung up and teaching ungodly things, and Paul reveals those in his writings. And so there is a falling away. It began then, and we're in it now, and I believe it's shifted gears. I believe we're in a vast, fast-moving falling away from the truths of the Word of God, falling away from the message of the Word of God and the belief of religious and salvation and things that are holy to us in the Scripture. We find that there is a gathering of Israel. I thank God tonight that our country has identified and recognized Israel as the eternal capital, or Jerusalem as the eternal capital of Israel. It always has been, it always will be, and guess what? It will be the capital of this world during the millennial kingdom. For Jesus shall sit upon the throne of David, his father, and he shall rule the nations with a rod of iron, and he is that one. And the Bible says the world will come to where Jesus rules. And so we're seeing, and we began to see many, many years ago, 70 years ago, the gathering of Israel. And people flocking back, and the Jew returning back to their homeland. And every Jew has that desire in their heart that they'd love to go back to Israel. They'd love to live in their land. They'd love to be in the place where God has placed them. The sad thing about Israel, they talk about God, but yet they reject his son. They're under the under the blessings of the Lord, being the nation chosen of God, but they've rejected the Son of God, and their eyes have been blinded to the real truth of the matter. But if you want good history about Israel, you talk to a Jew, you talk to a person that is identified with the Jewish religion and the Jewish state, and he'll give you things that are so amazing that we wonder why do they not see the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because they rejected him and their eyes have been blinded. But we see this falling away spiritually, but we see physically, naturally, the gathering together of the nation of Israel. The time is at hand. There are perilous times that Paul talks about, and we don't have to labor that. We've talked about that, preached on that many times. We're living in perilous days. We're living in perilous times. Difficult days, and we're there, and we're right to the point that everybody is wanting somebody to help. Well, I believe the devil's going to send somebody before too long, and he's going to have all the answers. He's got everything. He'll be a charlatan. He'll be a charismatic person. His popularity will be great, and he'll be like a Pied Piper, and the world will follow after him. But he has a great hatred for the Jew. That's covered for a while, and he makes a treaty with the Jew and guarantees their safety. I heard years ago, I forget now what leader it was, but the leader of Israel said we would give away everything we own to have someone guarantee to us that we could live in safety. Well, he's just setting his mindset and the mindset of Israel to accept the man that'll come along and make a treaty with them. And Daniel talks about that. Matthew talks about that. And then that man comes into the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Jews. And by the way, that temple's not built yet. But there'll be a tribulation temple, and Antichrist will go there, and he'll desolate, and he'll have a sacrifice upon that. That's desolation. And they'll understand then that he's not their friend. So perilous times are coming upon the Jew. Just yesterday we hear and we remember and read the story and hear the report of a man going into a synagogue and killing 11 Jews. I was amazed at the ages of most of those people. 81, 85, 79, 72. I think there was only one in his 50s and the rest were in their 70s and 80s. Very brilliant people I read today that lost their life, doctors and lawyers and people that had been established in the community, and they are in their synagogue and they're going through their religious ceremony. And the man comes in and takes a gun and kills 11 of them. And I heard one of the Jewish leaders yesterday say, "This is nothing new to us. This is nothing that is unexpected to us because it's been going on from the very beginning of time," and it has. Since the Ishmaelites have come out of the loins of Abraham and Isaac came out of the loins of Abraham, those two factions have disagreed and fought all the historical time that we have, and they'll continue to do that. And the Jew says, "We're not surprised. Oh, we may be surprised when it happens and where it happens, but we're not surprised at another killing." World War II, 4 million Jews were put through the gas chamber of Hitler. Many of them were, their bodies were taken and they were boiled and they called it Jew soap. And their name has been a byword and still is. And so the time is at hand because perilous times are upon them. And so here John tells us, or Jesus is telling John, "I come quickly, and when I come, there are those things that you need to take the book of this prophecy, don't seal it, make it known, reveal it." He says, "For the time is at hand." What are you saying? He says, "The time's right now. We're living in the last days." And as John was reading and taking these things, he was living in the first portion of the last days. We're living in the last days of the last days. So we find Jesus says the time is at hand. verse number 11, it tells us that there's no second chances. The scripture says here, there's coming a time when he that is unjust still. Nothing can be done. There's coming a time when he that is filthy is going to continue to be filthy. There's coming a time when he that is righteous is righteous. He that is holy, let him be holy. There's no second chances. You are what you are. And when the Lord comes, there's no changing in that. There's nothing that will change the outcome of where we are. We will be left to the regions of our own soul. And God says, what you are, you are. What you are is what is, and many of them will be lost forever and forever. People that we know. We had a fellow, I don't remember who it was, preaching the camp meeting, talking about these, who are these people, and brought it out for those that will stand before God, maybe folks that we know, these people. Those that stand before God in judgment, and they're, and they have turned their back upon the Lord. They've rejected Christ. And those are the people that one day will stand. But now they're maybe brushing our shoulders and talking to us. No second chances. The time is at hand. The Lord is coming. And what you are, you are. What you are, you will continue to be. And you'll be lost without God forever. But thank God those that are saved forever. Those that are holy, let them be holy. Those that are righteous, let them be righteous. But if they're filthy, they'll be filthy. If they're unjust, they'll be unjust. If they're ungodly, they'll be ungodly. No second chances. When a person draws their last breath, that's it. You hear folks when they, especially well-known celebrities, when they die, they'll light candles and they say, we're praying for their souls. Too late then. Soul is already where it is. As soon as they drew that last breath, their soul is where they had determined it would be in their own life. No need to light a candle. No need to pray a prayer. Let the unjust be unjust still. We find in verse number 12 and verse number 13, we find that eternity will be wonderful for the child of God. You and I, we have a great future ahead of us. verse number 12. Says, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his own work shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Former things are passed away. Future things are reserved forever. Eternal things will be there that will never stop and never end. We could turn back a few pages in our Bible, and we could find some of those wonderful things that the Lord has prepared for us in the heaven that is before us. We talk about the beauty of heaven, but I'll tell you what, the beauty of heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. The beauty of where we're going is not the street of gold and the wall of jasper and every gate being a stone and one pearl each, but the beauty of heaven is who it's all about is Jesus Christ. And so we find that John tells us here that it's good for, he's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's all that's in between. Heaven is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about the angels. And it's not about the saints that have gone on before us. Heaven is about Jesus Christ. And by the way, when a person dies, they don't go to heaven and have wings and become an angel. That's foolish thinking. When we go to heaven, only one person we're going to want to see. First of all, and I believe that's our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad the Bible says we are going to be known as we are known, and I believe we'll have our fellowship together. I don't believe we'll have difficulty in being transported from place to place. I believe we'll be able to do just like the Lord appeared. I believe we can appear because we're going to be just like Him. And heaven, eternity, will be wonderful for the child of God, for the saint. But on the other hand, it'll be very woeful and very sorrowful and very dreadful for the sinner, for the ungodly. Look at verse number 15. For without are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers and murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Wicked place. That's the congregation of the wicked. Death is sure, judgment is certain, and hell will be there forever and forever. John says, even so, come, Lord. I see all these things. I've observed them. I've looked at them. And now you're telling me you're coming quickly. I'm ready for you to come right now. And I believe we can echo that even in our day and time in which we live. But I'm glad, thank God, the Lord gives us in the next few verses, gives us the last invitation of the Word of God. God has always invited people to come. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come, let us reason together. In Isaiah, Noah was said to come into the ark. And so the Lord has always had the invitation for us to come unto Him. Now we're at the last moments of the last moments before eternity. And the Bible tells us in verse number 16, the Spirit, or verse 16 says, I, Jesus, have set mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. See, everything written in Revelation is written for the church. Starts out in seven, in chapters 1, 2, and 3, the seven churches of Asia. And now all these things are given, tells us here. He says, I've testified these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And here's the invitation, the Spirit and the bride. Who's the bride? It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth, that's the believer, let him say, come. And whosoever will, thank God, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. That's the greatest invitation that could ever be given. Let him come and drink of the what? Water of life. Verse number 1 of chapter 22. He showed me a pure river of water of life. That's coming out of the throne of God. Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Here we find, the Lord says, the Spirit says, come. You know, one day the Spirit said what to you? He said, come. It's the Holy Spirit that draws us. And even at the very end of what we call the ticks of a clock called time, the Spirit says, come. The bride, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ says, come. He that hears says, come. We instruct, we help, we tell people, we witness to folks and tell them and ask them diligently to come unto the Lord. And it's whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. That's God's invitation. It stands. It does not change. It does not move. It's always there. And the invitation is still open tonight for the people of this world to come unto him. The invitation is still given by the Holy Spirit. The invitation is still given by the Lord's church. The invitation is still either received or rejected by the people of this world. But the invitation says, come. For those that will not come, for those that will reject, verse number 18, verse number 19, tells us that only judgment awaits them. For I testify every man that heareth the words of the prophet of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add in him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and out of the things that are written in this book. Judgment awaits. To change it is fatal. Now, I have used these verses and I have heard others, and probably not as good as maybe we should have, because we use it and say, can't change any word of this book. But what's John writing about? John is writing about the prophecies of this book. He's writing about the revelation. And he says, if you fool with it, if you deal with it, if you take away, if you add to it, it's fatal. You do away with the Word of God, it's fatal spiritually. To people, they cannot hear and have understanding. To change it is fatal. To reject it is fatal. To ignore it is fatal. So judgment awaits those that defile or reject and turn away from the Word of God. And then verse number 20, Jesus is coming just like He said. I mentioned this morning that song that we have in our songbook. It says, Jesus is coming soon. 256, I believe it is. Jesus is coming soon. I looked down there. First time I noticed it, I was shocked. Copyright 1942. That's a lot of years. Popular song. Probably more popular now than it was when it was first written. As I mentioned this morning, it's made very popular by quartets and southern gospel singers. But the words are good. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear now is at stake. Humbling our heart to God, save from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod. Christians awake. Why? He's coming soon. The second verse says, love of so many cold, losing their home of gold. Thus in God's word is told, evils abound. When these signs come to pass, nearing the end at last. It will come very fast. Trumpets will sound. The trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we that are alive and remain shall be caught up with them that have already gone before us. He's coming. The third stanza says, troubles will soon be o'er, happy forevermore. When we meet on that shore, free from all care, rising up in the sky, telling the world goodbye, homeward we then will fly, glory to share. And the chorus just simply says, Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. And John says, even so come, Lord Jesus. The Christ that we have in our heart has said over and over and over again, I'm coming back. I'm going to prepare a place, and I'm coming to receive you, that where I am, there you may be also. And as he was lifted into the heavens there in Acts chapter number 1, the angel said, why stand you here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, as you've seen him go, shall come again. We have that promise. Thank God, what a wonderful promise it is that Jesus is coming. And John hears all these things. And I believe he overjoys in his heart. And I doubt he said it very quietly. And maybe he yelled out with the top of his voice, even so come, Lord Jesus. He's coming just like he said. And the Lord will give grace sufficient until he does. That's the last verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We need saving grace. We need serving grace. One day we'll need dying grace. But until we leave this world, we need grace just to maintain and to honor and to know that our Lord is coming. Hey, grace, as we mentioned this morning in the message, we are suffering people. God gives us grace as we suffer. We have grace to serve Him. And we have grace just simply to survive. We have the ability to keep on keeping on. Why? Because Jesus said, I come quickly. We have grace to, if we're in a prison cell, as John was on that island, if we're in a prison cell, as Paul was many times, we have the grace of God to endure those things because Jesus is coming quickly. We have grace to undergo the struggles of life and the torments of this world and the diseases that rack our body and the problems that come. We have that ability to go through that because we know there's a better day coming. We know that Jesus is coming. is coming soon. And I believe we can echo as John the Apostle did, even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come. May He come tonight. If He doesn't, we'll look for Him tomorrow. If He doesn't come tomorrow, we'll look for Him the next day. If we come back in here next Sunday, guess what we're looking for? We're looking for the coming of our Lord. His coming will come quickly. His coming will be there. He will come quickly. He will come surely. And in the first phase of His coming, He's coming quietly. We'll be snatched out of here and be gone before anybody knows it. We're gone, they won't even know we're gone. But the second part of His coming, not going to be quiet, it's going to be quick. And He's going to destroy His enemy with the brightness of His coming. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Let's stand together tonight.